This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Life is full of choices. Should I go to work or to the beach? Go to the gym or meet my mates for some coldies? Have steak or chicken for dinner? No rules here, mate. At Outback, you can get them both. With our new Steak and Mate combos, you can pair your tender, juicy sirloin with Nashville hot wings, Alice Springs chicken, or even Bloomin' Fried shrimp, starting at just $16.99. Stop in and try one of our new Steak and Mate combos. Here for a limited time, only at Outback Steakhouse.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, and ex-WHU employee. It's our second consecutive defeat, this time away to Man City. Could we have done any better against arguably the best team in the world away from home in difficult conditions? We'll be talking about the game, our trip to Manchester, the Coach B toilet of terror, the importance of Brighton and any changes we would make before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. X, it was always going to be a tough game. We've gone to one of the best teams in the world away from home in difficult conditions and lost by a goal. But could we have done better?
That's a tough question, to be honest with you, because Man City is so good. You know, you know you're playing one of the best sides in the world when you play them, as is proven by the fact that they're a Champions League finalist last year. They won the Premier League. They look like they're in contention to win it again and just beating Paris Saint-Germain. You know, you're playing one of the best teams in the world. So previous games against Man City, we've been battered. You know, we battered 4-5, even 6-0 in games. And I don't think we were ever out of the game. Yes, Man City completely dominated possession. And I think they controlled the game. But we weren't ever out of it. You know, there was times when we could have got a draw out of it. I mean, the only slight thing I guess you could say was that we maybe showed them too much respect again, maybe by changing to go defensive. I understand why he did bring Mazzarco in, but perhaps we shouldn't have done that. And also, we allowed them to have the ball a lot, but sometimes it's almost impossible to get it back off them. So when you reflect, again, as per usual, there's the knee-jerk reactions of how awful the display was. I don't think it was an awful display. You know, of course, you could have done better because you lost the game. But in the grand scheme of things, losing 2-1 away to Man City in West Ham's season is nothing. You don't have to worry about anything more than a loss there is a bonus. So I'm not too fussed.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, how many times have we been on this podcast and been pissed off about a defeat or a performance? I mean, I've lost count so many times, but I can't be too pissed off for the reasons that you've mentioned, really. I mean, I, for one, think tactically Moyes got it right. I think when you go to somewhere like City, I think you have to play five at the back. I didn't have a problem with that. Yes, of course, you're sacrificing in the final third. And actually, talking of the final third, Moyes even said himself that our performance in the final third needs to be better. And I do agree with that. I think that was our biggest problem, in my opinion. And it's frustrating because before the game, we were saying, you know, if Man City are not on top of their game, then we've got a chance as long as we are on top of our game. And that's the frustrating thing, because if you look at the first 20 minutes, I think City were there for the taking. They started slowly, I think, City. And I think if we were going to win that game, it was going to be in the first 20 minutes. But we didn't take advantage of that. And we let them grow into the game and take control and then dominate possession. And the other thing that disappointed me is that set pieces are so important in a game like that, especially when you score so many like we do. But they weren't good enough on the day. And I just think, generally speaking, going forward, we just didn't make the most of the ability that I know we've got, you know. But do you know what, X? You're absolutely right. Having said that, a few years ago, we probably would have lost that 4 or 5 nil. So what Moyes has done is he's created a side that win more than we lose. But even if we don't win, we're hard to beat. And we lost by a goal against Wolves and we lost by a goal against City. But, you know, at the same time, X, that is two straight defeats. And with Chelsea coming up, how important is that Brighton game tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a big game, definitely. And I would actually shake it up a little bit for the Brighton game, you know. Even though he, like, you know, it's obvious to say he scored a goal, but I think Lanzini has actually been playing quite well recently.
Yeah.
Every time, I thought he started the game well against Vienna. He came on and he played well against City. I thought he did well against Wolves when he came on. I thought he started, I think it might be Villa as well. He started to actually build up a consistent run of games now. I would be tempted to get him in the midfield now and probably at the expense of Benrahma, I think, because I think Benrahma has been a bit off for the last couple of games. So I would definitely consider that option. Another thing I'd consider, and this is going to sound controversial, but another thing I'd consider is dropping Souček.
No, it's not controversial. It's not controversial at all. I'm with you 100%. I was going to go a bit further than that, actually, and say that as it stands, we haven't got the same player that we had last season.
No.
He's actually been at best average. And possibly, arguably below average all season. And well, I don't know what it is with him, X. Does he need a rest? I don't know. But you're right to call him out.
Well, I think a rest is definitely the first thing I would try. And I think against Rapid Vienna, Moyes was apparently said, because a journalist was at the game and reported on it, that he spent most of the game shouting at Souček to play further forward. So I don't know what's going on with him a little bit at the moment. I think he does need a rest. And then you've got to think, who would you bring in for him? You could bring in either Noble or Crowell. And to be honest with you, that is the sort of game I think I would play Noble in, because it's, you know, Brighton, they're our bogey team, bit of experience. You know, that's the sort of game I would play him in. And people are probably, but there will be people listening to this that are going, what? And we'll probably get comments on it. But something has to be done to try and get Souček back to the level of performance he was showing last year. Because, as you just said, we haven't got that now. We haven't got the same player. He hasn't scored the goals he scored. When he's not scoring the goals, then it takes a massive part out of his game. And, you know, I think we've got to look at that. You've also got the situation with the left back. Obviously, it's going to be in my section, but the feeling is at the moment that Cresswell is going to have a late fitness test. So we'll see how we go with that. And you've got the dilemma of, do you bring Chaffel back in for Johnson? Now, I think that's harsh, because I don't think Johnson's been terrible, and I think that'd be really quite harsh. But as I've always said before, when you've got players that are like borderline on par with each other in terms of their rights to the team, you could argue that this is the time to bring Chaffel back in now. And if Chris was injured, you then could put Johnson at left back, so he's not dropped anyway. There are a few things to consider. You've also got, to consider Dawson for Diop, possibly. Now, I don't think Dawson had a terrible game against Man City, but arguably, for the future, Diop is a better prospect than Dawson, mainly because of age. So there's a few selection things to consider there. But you've got to bring Bowen back in as well, because I think we missed his energy. So you've got to have him back in. I don't think Antonio's performed that well the last few games. And I think that's probably quite harsh on Antonio, because, he's very isolated. And against Man City, when you don't have the ball very often, it's very hard for him to actually have any form of impact. that. But there's a few things that managers consider, definitely. And I'm not being knee-jerk here, because we lost against Man City. We've obviously not, we've lost against Wolves as well. And I think with so many games coming up, obviously we've got Brighton Wednesday, got Chelsea Saturday, you got such a quick run of games, it might not be a bad thing to sort of alternate the squad anyway in terms of fitness. And I think psychologically, it might not be a bad thing either.
It's an interesting point about Johnson, because he did come in for a bit of stick after the Man City game. And it, I think it depends how you look at it. Is it right to take him out after one game? One, okay, pretty poor performance. After his form has been so good, we're saying to him, right, that's it. One poor performance, one below average performance, you're out the side. Is that a good move for so many different reasons? I'm not so sure. Or on the flip side, is that the standard that should rightfully be in place now? Well, if you have one bad game, that's it. You lose your place.
Well, this is what I've always said, and that's why it works on the flip side, that if you've had one really good game, you should keep your place. It's that kind of making sure that the standards are always up to that level. Now, I think dropping Johnson would be harsh, and personally, I don't think I would. I think I'd play him against Brighton, and if it was another sort of average game from him, then I think I'd bring Chafal in for a bit more experience against Chelsea. That's what I would do. So I think I would actually keep Johnson for this game against Brighton. But that said, if the manager was to bring Chafal in now, I could understand it. You know, before I would say you can't bring him in because Johnson's doing so well. That is what the beauty of West Ham is right now. We have, let's just say with Benrahma. I mean, Benrahma hasn't been terrible, but I just think Lanzini's been playing well every time he's come on. Mm. And if players are playing well, you've got to almost, let's say with Dawson, you know, you've got to almost expect the better player to be the one that starts, because in terms of ability, I don't think there's much difference between Johnson and Chafal in terms of what they could bring to the team. I don't think there's much difference between when a fit and on peak Lanzini to Benrahma. So it's good to have those options. You know, do you have Dawson? You're not looking at it thinking, oh, well, one's clearly better than the other. You know, if it's the one that's on form, and if the player's on form and they're playing well, they should be the one that's in the team. But I think I trust more is completely to manage it against Brighton. I mean, Brighton are our bogey team as well, which you've got to also bear in mind. I've looked at the stats that have come out against that game. We haven't beaten them in the Premier League. You know, and you wouldn't think that of a team of that's kind of always been near the bottom end of the table. So it's a tough game for us. And I think the manager's got to really get the selection spot on. And I would expect a couple of changes personally if I was the manager, I would anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right about Manu, because I've looked at him recently, and I think, because obviously prior to his injury, he was one of the first names on the team sheet, Manu. I mean, he's been such an important player for us. Then he got his injury and he took a hell of a long time to get back to anywhere near his best. And I'm still not sure he is, but he's better now than he was during that recovery period, without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm impressed by his agility, his close control. He can turn on a sixpence as well. He looks like he's got that sharpness back. And as I've said to you before, the only thing that he needs to improve is his end product, because he's very good in the middle of the park and distribution isn't too bad. But in terms of assists and goals, I think we need to see more of that. And the only way we're going to see more of that is by giving him game time. And I wonder, you know, is there the potential for him to replace Souček, or would you be giving up too much defensively if you did that?
You could do, and against a team like Brighton, where you expect to be attacking more so, you could do. There is that argument that you could bring him in. I mean, but then, like you said, that makes you telling Declan that he's basically got to sit and then let the others be the attacking ones, which you could do. I mean, there's definitely that option. And if he did that, I wouldn't be like, you know, what is he doing? I can understand that decision. Likewise, I can understand if Noble or Crowell came in. It's really interesting to see what he does. Because I do think on the back of those two performances, yes, against Wolves and Man City, so you don't need to get completely over the top and panic. But I think it just because there's so many games coming up, you know, I just think it could, a couple of players refreshed here and there. Might not be a bad thing. And like I said, Lanzini must be starting to think, you know, what do I need to do now? I've done three or four consistent levels of performance. And if he doesn't start to get in the team, then I don't think he'll get unhappy because he's not that sort of person. But it does take away the kind of motivation that I think the players at the squad currently have to be at the top of their game to therefore be in the starting 11.
It's a good goal as well. You missed it, didn't you? You was watching the West Ham fans get carted off by the old Bill.
I was, yeah. Let's get my priorities right. I was watching a fight that was, well, not a fight, but like, so I'm being evicted, and I saw the ball go off the post, but I don't know how it got there. But obviously, I've seen the replay since, and yeah, great game. Probably the best goal I've always ever missed, actually being at the game. Yeah, it's got to be out there, hasn't it?
Do you know what? Normally you install stories like that where someone went to the toilet, but you was actually there watching the game and still fucking missed it.
I know. Ridiculous, isn't it? One of the other worst goals I was actually at, not worst goals, but significant goals I missed once. I think I was there with you, actually. It was against Arsenal, and Arnautovic scored to put us in the lead. I missed that because I was in the toilet. But the Lanzini one, yeah, it's probably the best goal I've actually been in the flesh at and not seen. So,
A new one. Do you think Antonio's dip in form coincides with his time with Jamaica?
I don't think it's helped because I think he's playing too many games. And the thing is as well, they're clearly managing his injuries. They're trying to manage his hamstrings. They're making sure he only makes certain runs. You know, he's having to have treatment in and around the games and so on. So he's already being managed for the potential of getting an injury. Therefore, if you're throwing in extra games plus travelling on, you know, aeroplanes to the other side of the world and then playing on different sort of texture of pitches, you know, I don't know. I assume the one in the USA was fine, but I think he played in a... can't remember the other game he played now. It was 1-1, but I can't imagine the pitches are the same standard as the Premier League pitches. So you've got to sort of ask questions about it. And personally, like, you can't criticise Antonio for it because, you know, he's obviously waited the whole of his career to play international football. He didn't get it with England. So he's taken, the second option from his heritage. The thing is, though, like, he knows his injury situation and he's gonna done that and he's playing for a nation. And no disrespect to Jamaica, because, you know, when they were in the 1998 World Cup, I think it was, they brought a load of, added to the tournament, didn't they? They were like the reggae boys, and they were fun, they were entertaining, you know, the community got behind them. And so it's great to have them involved. So it's nothing personal, it could be any nation of that stature, but the thing is, I don't think they're going to qualify for the World Cup. So it's almost like, why do you have to do this, Mickey? You know, it's not ideal, really. And I also think he went against Man City. Any forward that's a lone forward like he was is going to struggle, really, because he just didn't get any of the ball, really, any opportunities. A couple of times he did a few stupid things and gave it away, but I don't think you can judge his performance against Man City. But obviously, he didn't score against Wolves. He hasn't scored against Man City. We have no other option. So we need to get him scoring again. I thought, you know, Sonny Perkins looked decent when he played against Vienna. You know, it's hard to judge in a game like that when the game was already over. But I'm not going to say I would start Sonny Perkins, but certainly you might want to start having him on the bench just so there's it's just like, other than Bowen, there is another option to come on up front.
Yeah. Well, do you know, it's exciting with Sonny, isn't it? Because he's someone who... he's actively involved in the squad now. He seems to be in the plans for David Moyes, but you know better than I do, it seems like we want to utilise him as opposed to send him out on loan as it stands, which speaks volumes about him, doesn't it, surely?
Yeah, I mean, he is obviously highly rated. He's an England international, the young and under-19s, I think, international. His dad, we're hopefully going to get him on a show soon. His dad, Declan Perkins, actually played for West Ham Academy as well. And he was an Ireland under-21 international. I don't think he quite made it in the game, but I think he might have played a few times for Southend, but he never reached it. Like, never really made it. But his dad's obviously from the academy, so they all know West Ham. He's come through the ranks. West Ham means a lot. You know, he played for Leyton Orient before he was at West Ham, born in Hackney. So he's a proper local lad. very, very talented. I don't know if you heard Colton Cole say that, that the academy found it hard to find his best position because he was so good in every position he was
really playing. No, I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah, he did say that. He mentioned Mark Phillips as well, said the academy staff struggled to actually pick his best position. But if they've settled for an attacker or an attacking midfielder, then at least it gives us an option. And, you know, perhaps he should have scored the header. That's being quite harsh, possibly. But he was in the right position to get it. He also was in the right position a couple of times, made some good runs. You know, sometimes having the excitement of a raw young academy striker can do a lot. You know, we look at Freddie Sears for the first, he scored his debut, the first few games he played for the club. And, you know, when you've got, even if they're not particularly that good, just having the potential for that. And I'm not saying it's Casey Perkins because I think he is that good, but like just having the potential of a young academy striker coming through brings a bit of an excitement, doesn't it? You know, we wanted it with Elliot Lee, we wanted it with Xander Silva, we wanted it with Martinez. You know, we've always wanted there to be that person. So if Perkins could get anywhere near being a Premier League forward for us, coming off the bench and stuff, then I think it would be worth having him on the bench because we've got no other options at the moment anyway.
Yeah, good luck to him. It is exciting, you're right. So it's a disappointing result, of course. Possibly one we all expected. But on a brighter note, it was a funny journey to Manchester, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, funny. Really, really funny. I mean, our away days are always funny occasions anyway, but this was this was definitely up there. I mean, that obviously it was set off me thinking, oh, this is not going to be good, because in the morning, I think quite a few trains to Manchester had been cancelled. And then when we actually got to Euston, we saw that our train had been delayed. It kept getting put back, didn't it? Five minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and so on. It looked like it was just going to be we're never going to get there. But eventually we did get on the train, and my word, I don't like to use a derogatory word, but it was, so I'm not going to, but it was an entertainment coach journey. That's an entertaining coach journey. That's for sure.
Well, I know, obviously, from the listener's perspective, you know, you had to be there to fully appreciate how funny this was. But for our own entertainment, I think we should just revisit it, because in my mind, I refer to it now as the Coach B Toilet of Terror. Because we were sitting right in full view of the train's toilet, but where we were positioned, it strangely created some sort of illusion where someone would go in as themselves and fucking come out as someone else. I mean, it was the strangest, most hilarious thing we've ever seen, isn't it? I mean, one man went in and came out as a woman. Yeah. Then some fella in his 20s went in and came out as a fucking Jewish rabbi in his 60s. Then we get to Stockport, someone goes in and comes out a fucking midget.
It's unbelievable.
And honestly, I know this sounds unbelievable, but am I lying, X?
No, it's the truth. The people were literally changing in as many possible forms as they could, you know, changing ethnicity, changing gender, changing disability, changing religion. It was like absolutely crazy.
It was carnage. Oh, do you know what? I mean, at one point I said, fucking hell, in a minute someone's going to come out half man, half horse, holding a crossbow, galloping down the centre of the fucking carriage. I mean, that toilet was like a cross between Stars in Your Eyes and Narnia, wasn't it? It was mental. I mean, fucking, we were doubled up laughing, weren't we?
And the funny thing was, I mean, I don't know if it's funny really to the listener, again, you had to be there, but it started off with obviously all the sort of, you know, the late night, victims of their earlier shenanigans. So there was people just standing there completely off their face. And then like for all different methods, I think alcohol and drugs were at play for a lot of the people there. One person was standing there, and we could see it coming, couldn't we, mate? And he literally just chundered everywhere. Oh. So then the toilet was actually locked up by the train porter person for ages, and people were just like standing outside the toilet, not knowing it was locked. We did, because we'd see what happened, but the people going into the toilet didn't. So they were getting so frustrated, weren't they? Because they were hammered as well. They were banging on the door, going, "Get out! What's taking so long?" And we knew that there was no one in there anyway. So we were like taking bets on how long they'd stand there before they gave up at the end. Didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, mate. Do you know what? That was arguably the funniest thing, because it was the relationship those group of lads had with the toilet. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, they kept going to the toilet, and like you say, it was obvious what they were doing, because they'd come out like fucking flesh-eating zombies with their jaws swinging everywhere. But they were battered before they even got on the train. And And it was funny because, like you say, at one point, someone came sprinting down the carriage. I fucking shit myself. I didn't know what was going on. But he managed to open the toilet door. But before he got to it, he just projectiled, didn't he? I mean, it was like something from disgusting. The Exorcist. It literally just flew out of him. I dread to think how much sick there was in that toilet. And then, like you say, he then went back to his seat after about 20 minutes. And then the train manager was passing by. He looked in the toilet, winced, and locked it. But unless you saw him do it, you wouldn't have known he'd locked it. So the lads kept coming back, obviously, to do more coke. But because it was locked, they thought someone was in there and they were getting so pissed off. They were saying, come on, mate, you've been in there for ages. How fucking long do you need? And then he'd come back half hour later and say, for fuck's sake, open this fucking toilet door now. There's no coke in there, was there?
I didn't realise they all
fucking died in there. Which, to be honest, based on what we'd seen in that toilet, was probably a fair question.
Well, I didn't realise they'd all morphed into Wardy. As well. But it was just bizarre. It was just so funny to sit back and watch. And even if you think, mate, we haven't even mentioned this part, when we were at the station, do you remember the announcement that kept going over and over? What was it? Something like, will Captain Smith please go to the control room or something along those lines.
Yes.
And it was a bit like where Mr. Moon has entered the building, you know, and he's to get out of Upton Park.
Yeah.
It was really strange, isn't it? Going over and over again. And at one point you went off to get like a drink or some sandwiches or something. And I was standing there on my own. And then all these policemen just ran into the train station and ran down to a carriage. I don't know what that was all about. We went and got on a train and stuff. So yeah, it was very, very
toilet and came out a group of nuns.
Yeah, and it was just absolutely bizarre. Obviously, we turned up at the hotel, and you know, there was a few, like the receptionist wasn't exactly the most welcoming and charismatic of fellas. And then, we got in and we walked past the amazing water feature that was outside, which was just like I don't even know how to describe it. Like, basically, like a square with like a tiny little sort of tap trickling in the middle, wasn't it? Absolutely,
it's so true. And you know, to be fair, given your history of booking hotels, this wasn't bad. I mean, it weren't great, let's be honest, but it wasn't bad. And it's weird,
expensive because, though, mate, compared to the other hotels.
Yeah, I know.
We should be getting about 3 or 4 times better. It wasn't 3 or 4 times better.
Yeah, that is true. And when you walked in, the weird thing is the reception doubled up as a bar, didn't it?
Yeah, that was odd.
And that was really weird. And it's funny when we got there because you had to give your names to check in. And obviously, for the purpose of your identity, I'll give you a full surname. But let's say your name was, I don't know, Watkins. And he said to you, didn't he? He said, well, I need to find out who it's booked under. He said, Watkins and Walker. He said, right, okay. What are the names? He said, Watkins and Walker. And then I asked for some ice, didn't I? Because I wanted a rum and coke that I'd bought in the room. And he's just fucking gone for ages, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he literally left the reception desk and he eventually came in with his ice. I'm sure he fucking opened up a tap and then put it in the freezer and waited it to set to bring it out.
He might have even gone all the way to like Scandinavia or somewhere and get it and brought it back. By the time he was away that long, he was absolutely ages.
And obviously, we had a bit of time to kill before the game. So being the sadistic voyeurs that we are, we decided to book a taxi, didn't we, to take us for a tour of Moss Side. Now, for those that don't know, Moss Side was once voted the worst and most dangerous place to live in England. But to our surprise, and if I'm honest, disappointment, the driver said it sorted itself out, didn't he? He said, I quote him, he said, actually a nice place to live. And I don't know, either that or he was lying because he was too shit scared to go there. I don't know. So we went to the casino instead, didn't we?
Yeah, went to the casino and I actually broke even, which for me was a real achievement in a casino. So I'll take that. And then went to the game. And then obviously at certain points of the game, we weren't even entirely sure that it was actually going to be still on with the amount of snow that was coming down, and then there was obviously a disappointing twist to the before and after match stuff. I don't know if you would have.
Oh, well, absolutely, because one thing that you wouldn't have seen from us on Sunday was a burger review, and this is because, and I still can't believe this because it's absolutely farcical, There wasn't one single burger van at the ground or around the ground. Incredible. And X, you actually wanted to give them a points deduction for that, didn't you?
Well, I think so, because we searched as well. We searched in the snow. You know, our commitment to this Patreon podcast is such that we actually walked around in the snow trying to find it.
We did.
Both before and after. And
we
spoke to numerous policemen and stewards and people that we hoped would actually be able to point us in the direction of one. And they couldn't. And, you know, so we ended up not finding one. And then at the end, there was like, do you remember that little beacon of hope we had? So we kind of went around the corner in near like an Asda, and we saw this little, like, to describe it, like a little van thing, I guess. And we're walking up. I said, mate, I think we found our answer. Wow. And as he walked up, it was some of the most bizarre stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah,
like,
it was.
You know, minted tea and like just ridiculous things that you wouldn't buy at a football. And so unfortunately, there was no burger review from Man City because there was no burgers. So I think, personally, I think that's administration for Man City.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, look, at the end of the day, I know Man City have worked hard with their branding and their reputation and their image, and they throw money at it, but that's not avoiding the fact that they've taken one of the heart and souls out of football, which is a burger van at the ground. I mean, that's part of the match day experience, and I don't think that should go unpunished. At first, when you mentioned it, I said, I don't know, should we put that in a league table because it might confuse people? But the more I think about it, I think a points deduction with an asterisk underneath it to say points deduction due to not having a fucking burger van at the ground.
I
think they should be named and shamed. And I don't know at this stage, X, how many points we're talking about. You know, we've got to get the balance between punishment and fairness. So what are you thinking?
Well, ultimately, they need to be relegated because they didn't provide the basics. It's like it's like a football team being in the league, not being able to field 11 players. If you're doing a burger review and you can't provide a burger, then there is no game. So in my opinion, they need at least a 12-point deduction.
You'd go with 12 points.
I think
okay.
so. That's not the severest punishment I think I've ever seen given out. Well, I've seen 15 once, but... You know.
What, for not having a burger van?
Yeah, not quite for that, but for financial irregularities and stuff. But I think we're taking this seriously, and therefore that crime should be taken seriously.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let's do it then. Let's do it. Yeah. Let's get the updated graphic done with Scotty Sullivan. He'll get that sorted for us, and that will now display Man City at the bottom of the table, minus 12 points, with the asterisk explaining why. I thought that was shocking. Absolutely devastating.
It is. And the fact of the matter is, when we tried to talk to the police or the steward about it, they gave us like vague directions that we could go to get one. So they thought, but they were quite clueless to it too.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, that goes to show, if the local old Bill can't tell you where a burger van is, it's not that we've missed it, there isn't one.
No, exactly. And we did do most of the perimeter of the ground.
Yeah.
You know, we went...
Fucking hell, we've done most of the perimeter of Manchester by the time we got picked up.
True. Yeah, and walking in the snow as well. You know, this is the thing, like, you know, we didn't want to let you guys down. We are that committed to the...
And we were starving. There was that as well.
Yeah, don't say it's heroic. we were trying to find this burger van. It was like, you know, like in the desert where you get a mirage of water. It was a little bit like that in the snow and the cold of Manchester. We just seen a steamy burger van in the distance. Every
it was hallucinating one at one point.
Every time we got to it, we found out it wasn't there in our disaster.
Yeah, it was. So massively disappointing. Shame on you, Man City. Yeah. And it will now be public. It'll be public knowledge. It will be there in black and white on the West Ham Way Patreon that you have been deducted officially, and this is an official announcement, 12 points for not having a fucking burger van at the football, which, you know, and I hope for their own sake, they review that and they take it in and they implement a burger ban from the next game. It's as simple as that. Because otherwise, they're not going to learn unless we go public with it, X.
No, that's true. And you know what, mate? We're entrepreneurs now. We always look for a niche in the market. Maybe we need to be the Manchester City burger van. Maybe that is our calling in life. Maybe that's why they didn't have one, because they're trying to lure us in to be the burger man.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we then, whenever we play Man City away now, we'll drive and we'll tow our own burger van, and it will be for West Ham fans only. With patrons get a discount on all burgers.
I think so. And the beauty of it is as well, because we're such burger connoisseurs, we should be able to get our burger to at least a 9 out of 10 on the reviews.
Yeah. Oh god, yeah, that's a point. People might review us. That puts a lot of pressure on us on the day, doesn't it?
especially when you've been critical of others.
Yeah, oh, all right, maybe we'll fuck that off then. but you know, going back to the game itself, in terms of man of the match, our patrons gave it to Declan with 57% of the votes, followed by Fabianski with 17% and Lanzini with 11%. Do you think that's fair?
Probably. So it's hard to pick out a man of the match really from that game because it didn't have much of the ball. So yeah, I guess Declan went on a couple of good runs, didn't he? Broke up the play well. Guardiola praised him after the match, so he obviously saw something. Fabianski's an interesting one because he made a couple of saves, but his kicking was terrible.
I know
it was the snow and stuff and the conditions, so you can maybe give him a bit of an excuse, but in that first half, particularly when you know he was kicking from the end that you and I are at, his kicking was terrible. They did score, didn't it? It was ruled out by VAR. That came from one of his terrible kicks.
Yeah, it did.
So a bit sceptical on Fabianski, but he did make some saves, and yeah, Lanzini did make a difference, obviously score a good goal, but probably do agree with Declan, yeah.
Okay. So I know we touched on this earlier, but when you talk about potential changes for the Brighton game, specifically then, putting you on the spot, what would you do?
I think I'd do Lanzini for...
So you go to a flat back four, wouldn't you, straight away? That's a no-brainer, isn't it?
So I take Mazaraku out, I bring Bowen back. I think I'd then take Benrahma out and put Lanzini in. And then I'd be very, very tempted, like I said, to take Suchek out, put him on the bench, you know, and with the aim, maybe if we're not winning the game, he comes on the 60th minute or whatever, we got half an hour and he tries to get himself on the score sheet. So possibly, and I know I can even read the comments now, I'm going to get stick for this, but I'd possibly put Noble in for Suchek.
Mm.
And then I'm even still thinking possibly for Dawson, probably Knox. I don't think Dawson's done horrific.
No.
I think Brighton actually is a sort of game where I'd rather Dawson than Diop. And then it would depend on Cresswell's fitness. I don't think I would drop Johnson based on that performance. So yeah, certainly Bowen back in. I think I would bring Lanzini for Benrahma, and I think I would do Noble for Suchek as well.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain players that have to up their game unquestionably, and it's a big game for Benrahma. So much so that I would actually start him. I don't think I'd take him out. I think I would start possibly with Lanzini in for Suchek, possibly, and then maybe ask Deck to be more defensive. I'd start the game that way, possibly. And if Benrahma wasn't performing, then I'd possibly look to move Lanzini in for Benrahma and then maybe bring on Nobes, someone like that. Other than that, I think we agree pretty much on what we do.
I mean, I think Benrahma's played really well. Don't get me wrong, aside from the last couple of games, I would have said he was a good
You comparing Benrahma and Suchek's overall performance so far this season, it's chalk and cheese. Yeah. Like, Benny's been fantastic at times. That's why, for me, I'd start him. I'd keep him in a team. Yeah. But I want to see that consistency, you know?
Yeah, and I think
he's better than that. He's better than to have two bad games in a row, you know? He's a top-quality player.
Yeah, and the whole thing, like I said, that I like about this team is you can literally say you've got to be on the top of your game, otherwise your position is in doubt because we've got such a good squad. Like, I can't sit here and always say, like, you don't change a winning side. If then when things aren't going well, you don't change that either because it defeats the point of it. You've got to play. My whole philosophy behind this is that you play the players that are on form. It doesn't matter. Mm. You know, obviously, like I've said to you before, if there's a huge class difference, you know, if Roberto had had one decent game and had all those five terrible ones before, and then suddenly, you know, Fabianski's fit or whatever, I wouldn't have kept Roberto because there's clearly a difference in ability.
Yeah.
But when it's like you could argue for one or the other, then I think you've got to go for someone that's on form. And that's why, you know, you say to Suchek, you say to him, listen, you are Hammer of the Year last year. You're an amazing player. The fans love you. This is don't be too disheartened about this. We've got Chelsea on Saturday. You know, you could be back in for that. Let's just see how today goes. If things aren't going that well, we'll bring you on. You can get yourself a goal, but you've played pretty much every game this season, pretty much, and you played for your country, and you did the same last year. I think you just need a bit of a rest, mate, and there's no harm in that. I mean, in December, there are so many games. Like, you know, I hate having to do the team news at the moment because I feel like I'm having to nag with a certain people because there's so many games. You know, when there was one game every week, it's fine. So you just sort of say, oh, listen, mate, you know, well, give us a heads up, what's the team? I'm pretty much having to ask every couple of days now because there's so many games. And that's the same for the players. Just like, just let them like know that there's going to be a little bit of rotation. You know, if we go and beat Brighton 3-0, the argument could be you stick with those three. I don't know. That team, I mean, sorry, but you just have to. This is the time to sort of refresh it a little bit, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Right, quick announcement now. So, as you know, our next pre-match event is on the 18th of December before the Norwich game, with the special guest being Colton Cole. Just to let everyone know, this event is now sold out, so we look forward to seeing you all there. Right, okay, let's get the latest from X. To listen to the rest of this podcast, you need to be a patron of the West Ham Way. Becoming a patron couldn't be easier. Just visit patreon.com/the West Ham Way and confirm your subscription to get full access to the West Ham Way podcast, our second weekly show called the West Ham Way podcast Extra Time, classic clips of audio and video interviews, exclusive news from X, match day team news before anyone else, an exclusive forum, live Q&As with myself and X, monthly prize draws, discounts on events and merchandise, and behind the scenes content, all of which for just £5 a month.
The is it morning yet deal. How about now? Or now? Because morning time is McDonald's breakfast time. And that's the best time of all the times.
Wake up with a little splash of sweetness. Get any size iced coffee from caramel to hazelnut to French vanilla for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Switching and saving with GEICO is easy, so you're free to ponder life's big questions, like why do people say it goes without saying and then say it anyway? I mean, if it really goes without saying, you should instead not say it and just give a knowing look?
Well, folks, it goes without saying.
What does?
The thing that I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Switch and save with GEICO. It's easier than you think.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.